Lema Holich Kischi Tanoihi, which is maybe a little more than halfway down, beginning of the line. The Gemara now is suggesting that perhaps this question as to whether when one instructs a shliach, take this money to so-and-so, is that like telling him, make a kinyan on it on behalf of so-and-so or not? So the Gemara says, Lema Holich Kischi Tanoihi. Let's suggest that this question is really machlokas tanoi. The time then, because the Braisa says, Holech man leploni, Reuven instructs Shimon, take this 100 zuz to so-and-so. V'halach, Shimon goes, u'biksho, he looks for him, v'lamatzo, he doesn't find him. In other words, the intended recipient has already died. So now what? So Tanakhama says, yachzeru l'mshaleach. Reuven gave you the money. He told you to give it to Levi. Levi has since died. You can't give it to him. Okay, so the money still belongs to Reuven. Give it back to Reuven. What happens, though, says the Braisa, Meis Mishaleach, if Reuven has also died? So, Ibn Asim, Ibn Yaakov Amru, Yachzu, the Yorshim Mishaleach. Okay, so give it back to the sender's Yorshim. The money's still his. The fact that he's no longer alive, okay, so give it to his inheritance, to his heirs, to his Yorshim. The Yesh Amrim, but the Yesh Amrim says no. Liyorshe mi shenishtalchulo. Give it to the yorshim of the intended recipient. Okay, so already have a machlokas tanoim here. When someone says, holech mana leploni, does the money still remain in the possession of the one who gave it to you to take? Or does the money already belong to the intended recipient, or in the case that he died, his yorshim? Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Meir. Yehuda Nasi says in the name of Reb Meir, mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, that if the sender has died, it's a mitzvah to do that which he wanted you to do. So give the 100 zuz to the intended recipient or to the recipient's yorshim. The chachamim say yachloku. We don't know whether the money should be given to the yorshim of the recipient, whether the money should be given back to the sender. So divide it up between the two sides.
Is this a case where both things happen or either one?
So the intended recipient died, and on the Mishaleach side, so it could be the Mishaleach is still alive. We're deciding, you know, who does money go to? Recipient's family or the Mishaleach? The Kanam, but here they said, meaning in Babel, they said that since we don't know who to give it to, Shuda Adif is what the Lashon the Braisa is. Gemara doesn't say that Shuda Adif later. The Braisa says, Koma Shiyotza Shliach Yaseh. Whatever the Shliach wants to do, let him do. In other words, we don't know if it goes to the Yorshim, if it goes of the Mishaleach, or the Yorshim of the Mikabel. So whatever the Shliach wants to do, let him do. Which Rashi understands to mean, let the shliach assess what he thinks the intent of the mishaleach was. Did the mishaleach want this money to be given to the family of the recipient? Or no? Now that the recipient's dead, the mishaleach would want it back. I never intended for it to go to the family of the recipient. Let the shliach assess what he thinks in his mind and his best judgment was the intent of the giver of the gift. Amr Reb Shimon Anasi. Shimon Anasi says, "Al yodi ha'yemaisa." This happened with me. Amr, they sent to me, "Yachzul Yorshim Shaleach." Give it to the Yorshim of the one who sent it. It does not go to the recipient's family. It goes to the family of the giver of the gift. Okay, so that's the range of opinions quoted in this context. So Gemara now is suggesting that the machlokas, all these different opinions in the Braisa, really revolve around this one shaila. Is holech the same as saying acquire it, kizchi, or not? And then right now spells out the various possibilities and shitos. My lav, b'hakim mifligi, isn't the machlokes in the braisa as follows. The Tanakama savar, Tanakama, who said in the braisa that in this scenario, the money goes back to the sender, he holds holech lav kizchi. But that when the sender said, take this money to so-and-so, that's not saying, make a kinyan on it now, on his behalf. And therefore, if the Mekabel dies before receiving it, it still belongs to the Mishaleach. Reb Nosson and Reb Yaakov Nami, Holech Lav Kisri, Reb Nosson and Reb Yaakov, who said it goes to the Yorshim of the Mishaleach, they agree that Holech is not the same as saying Zechi. And what they're adding to Tana Kama is, even though the sender has died as well, lo amrinon mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis. We don't argue that, well, since the sender died, there's a special mitzvah to fulfill what his wishes were, which would be to give the money to the mekabel, or to the family of the recipient. No, they agree with Tana Kama that holech is lav kisri, and we don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis. The Yesh Omrim, and the Yesh Omrim say, holech kizchi. The Yesh Omrim say that when you say holech, you mean to say, be zochen it, make a kenyan on it right now on behalf of the intended recipient. And that's why the Yesh Omrim in the Braisa said, give the money to the Yorshim of the intended recipient, because the assumption of the Yesh Omrim is that the Shliach was already koneh on his behalf. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Meir. And then Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, quoting Rabbi Meir, he says that Holech Lav Kisri, he holds a Tana Kama, that saying Holech is not the same as saying make a kinyan on it. First wide line, Miu, however, Hecha Demis, but if the sender has died, so then Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, Aminon, we say, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hameis. It's a mitzvah to do that which the deceased had wished, which is to give this money to the recipient, or in this case, to his family. The Chachamim Am Yachloku, the Chacham said, split between the two sides. Misafkalu, they weren't sure. Is Holech Kizchi, in which case the Shliach was konit on behalf of the recipient. Is Holech Lav Kizchi, in which case the money goes back to the Mishaleach, to the sender. And in the case where the Mishaleach dies, they're furthermore not sure, do we say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hameis, in which case it goes to the recipient's family, or do we not say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hameis, and therefore maybe it goes back to the sender's family? And since they weren't sure, so they said, split it between the two sides, the sender's family and the recipient's family. V'kan amru, and in Bava they said, so we said before in the Braisa that in Bava they said, whatever the Shliach wants to do, he should do. What is that all about? Shuda Adif. That when you have a suffix, the best approach is shuda. Shuda means, says Rashi, that you have the shliach make his best assessment as to what the true intent of the mishaleach was. Did the mishaleach want this money to be given to the recipient's family, regardless of whether the recipient is alive when he receives it or not? Or no, maybe he wanted it to go only to the recipient. If the recipient's dead, then it goes back to the mishaleach. That's the decision that the shliach has to make according to the V'kan Amru opinion in the Braisa. Shud Adif, let the shliach assess what he thinks the intent of the mishaleach was.
The person who sends a shliach, especially with money,
right,
he's got to know who he's giving it to. He trusts him so much, and they know.
Right, as you're saying, we're saying that the shliach presumably knows the sender very well, and therefore he knows the guy, he knows what his intent is, we're assuming.
And if I was the shliach, I would ask a lot of questions. What happens if I don't find him? Right. Where do I go? Does he have a son? Blah, 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 etc. Right.
In the original case, the shliach was the borrower.
So in this case, what happened was is... someone wants to give a gift to somebody else.
Okay.
So he just tells the shliach, here, you're my buddy, take this to my friend, you know, out of town, wherever he happens to be.
Right, so it's a different case.
Right.
Okay. And he found that he died.
So now, the Gemara has essentially suggested, and finally the last line, the second wide line, last point, Reb Shimon Anasi, and Shimon Anasi, Maisa Asa Bashminan. He's just telling us a Maisa Shaya with him, where the same Shaila arose, and the Chachamim told him, give the money to the Yorshim of the sender. So the Gemara has essentially presented this machlokas in the Braisa to be machlokas of holech kischi or holech lav kischi with an additional perhaps element of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis or not. But it comes out, we're saying now, that this question of is holech kischi, is holech lav kischi, is a machlokas tonight. This Gemara third wide line rejects this. Low, no. It could be really bibari that if the sender was a healthy person, dukuli amalo pligi, maybe everyone would agree that holach is lav kischi, is what we're suggesting now. So we're being docha the raya by suggesting that maybe really everybody holds holach is lav kischi. So how do you explain the machlokas in the Braisa then? What's the case here? B'shchiv mira, the case is that the sender was someone who was dying. He was dangerously ill towards the end of his life. And the machlokas in the Braisa is really rather about whether a shchiv mira who distributes property towards the end of his life, does he need to make a kenyan with the intended recipient or not? That's the machlokas. And this is the machlokas of Allah and the Chachamim. Nah, because the Mishnah says, in Bava Basra, ha-machalat m'chasav al-piv, someone towards the end of his life is distributing his property. I want to give this son that amount, that son this amount. In other words, he's not relying upon the usual halachos of Yerusha, which would ensure a basically equitable distribution of his property to the various sons. He's saying, no, I like this son to get X amount, that son to get Y amount. So what's the din? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, Echad bari ve'echad mesukan, whether he's still healthy, whether he's dangerously ill, the halacha is, nechasim sheyesh lahen achrayas, if he wants to give out real estate, niknin bekesef ubishtar ubechazaka, a kinyan must be performed. The same type of kinyan you always need to acquire ka'os, either money or shtar, or chazaka, b'she'en ha'machrayis, and property which is not real estate property, ein nikin alav mashicha. You must perform a kinyan mashicha. If you don't do a kinyan, there's no transfer of ownership. Period. That's Rabbi Elazar. No special treatment for a shchiv mera. That's what he's saying. Whereas v'chachamim amar no, chachamim say elu ve'elu nikin ba'amira. That if you're dealing with someone who is distributing his nechasim, and this fellow is a shchivmra, so the chachamim say that the kinyan is not necessary. Whether it's real estate, whether it's metaltlin, just say who you want it to be given to, and that is sufficient. That's fine. That's sufficient. So the Gemara is suggesting that, we'll soon see how, that the Braisa, which we mentioned earlier, really revolves around this machlokas. We'll see in a minute how that is. Amrlo, so the Chacham said to Rav Elazar, Maisa be'iman shal b'nei Rochel. Well, there was actually a story with the mother of these b'nei Rochel. I guess these people who were peddlers or perfume sellers. Shehaisa Chola, she, the mother, was very ill. The Amran, she said, Tinasein, top of the Amran, Kvinasi Labiti, I want my a piece of jewelry to be given dafka to my daughter. Vihi Bishnei Masar Mana, and the jewelry was worth 1,200 zuz. Umesa, then she died. The Kaimu Chacham Mr. Varela. And the Chacham said, the daughter gets it. Apparently, see here, that when someone is declaring that they want their property to be given to so-and-so, when she's a shchiv mera, no kenyan is necessary. No kenyan is necessary. So, the Gemara now, in response to this, the Rabbi Elazar said, Amalahem b'nei rochel tik b'rem imam. He cursed them. He said, don't bring proof from those individuals. They were Rishayim, Rashi explains. You can't bring proof from what happened with their mother and their daughter. That's not a raya. In other words, the Chachamim weren't really involved in overseeing that psak din. So don't bring raya from that scenario. So now the Gemara suggests that maybe the machlokas in our Braisa revolves on this machlokas of Elazar and Chachamim. How so? Tanakama, the Tanakama in the Braisa previously, who said that when the recipient is found to have died, the money that was intended for him, Tanakama had said, should be given to the sender. So Tanakam is Kabbalazar. Tanakam holds a Kabbalazar. There was no kinyan made for the Makabel to receive the money. And therefore, even though we're talking about a Shchiv Merah, but according to Kabbalazar, Shchiv Merah, who wants to give out a gift, must perform a kinyan. No kinyan was done. It goes back to the sender. Reb Nosson Reb Yaakov Nami Kabbalazar. Reb Nosson Reb Yaakov agree to Kabbalazar that even though the sender was a Shchiv Merah, a kinyan was necessary, and no kinyan was performed. And they add that, therefore, it goes back to the Mishaleach, even though Afagav Demis, even if the Mishaleach has died, Lo Amrina Mitzvah Kaim Deremes. We still don't say that it's a mitzvah to fulfill his last wishes, and therefore it goes back to his Yorshim, to the Mishaleach's Yorshim. The Yesh Omrim was said in the Braisa that it goes to the Yorshim of the intended recipient, Karabanan. They hold like the Rabbanan, that a Shchiv Merah doesn't need a kinyan. He just says it, and Amira is sufficient. So in this case, the money already belongs to the intended recipient, or since he's died, it belongs to his Yorshim. Reb Yudah Nasi Sh'amim Shem Reb Meir, Kabbalazar. Reb Meir Be'etzim holds a Kabbalazar, that the Shchiv Merah does need to do a kinyan with the intended recipient. And he didn't. And therefore, the Mekabel was not konet. But nonetheless, miu hecha demis, if the mishaleach has died, amrinan mitzvah kaim devemes. We hold that it's a mitzvah to fulfill his wishes, and therefore it does go to the yorshim of the intended recipient. The chachamim omim yachloku. The chachamim are not sure. Do we say that a shchiv merah who distributes properties requires a kinyan? Does not require a kinyan? Do we say if the mishaleach died, mitzvah kaim devemes? Do we not say mitzvah kaim devemes? So they say, divide it up between the two sides. The Kan Amru, and in Babel, they said, let the Shliach do what he wants. Why? Because Shuda Adif, since it's a Safek, we rely upon his assessment of the intent of the Mishaleach. Shimon Anasi, Maisa Asalashminan. And Shimon Anasi is telling us a Maisa that happened with him, where they told him to give it to the Yorshim of the Mishaleach. So the Gemara has concluded that you can't bring a raya from this brisa that it's a machlokas holach kischi, holach lav kischi. It could be that the brisa assumes, according to everybody, holach is lav kischi. And the question is really a question of, do we assume that a shchiv merah who's distributing properties has to perform a kinyan or not? That's the Gemara's conclusion here. Yeah.
The ones who say it's not a mitzvah, the mikayim,
the
remes, are they arguing that there is such a mitzvah? There is not such a mitzvah? It's a deraisa mitzvah?
No, if they hold there's no mitzvah kaim divemeis, that means they hold that this fellow who was dying said, give my property to so-and-so. They never got a chance to give it to so-and-so. Okay, so never, there's never a transfer of ownership. The fellow died. Okay, he died, but the mishaleach died, but that doesn't mean that you now have to follow through with what he wanted. There was never a kinyan done. There's no requirement to follow through with what he wanted.
I understand that. But what they're arguing is, I never learned that in yeshiva. There's no such mitzvah? Or is it a derabbanan? Not a derabbanan, and some machlok is whether it's a rabbanan or not.
So I think,
they can't argue on
deraisa. No, I think what they're saying is, we're chazam sakein that you need to follow through with what he wanted.
So it's a derabbanan?
Yes, right.
Because they can't argue, it's not one of the 613.
Right, no. They're arguing whether there's a takanas chazal to follow through on the wishes of the mish, of the mace, right?
Okay, that makes sense.
So now the Gemara concludes the paragraph by saying, Ibayel, the Gemara asks Akasha on this braisa. Reb Shimon HaNasi, when we quote Reb Shimon HaNasi, the braisa had said, Reb Shimon HaNasi. So, Nasihu, was he a Nasi?
Mm.
Meaning, Tosfos explains, we don't find Reb Shimon was referred to as a Nasi ever. So, was he in fact a Nasi? Omishmei de Nasi ka'amar. Or maybe when the Braisa said Omer Reb Shimon HaNasi, what it really was saying was Omer Reb Shimon HaNasi Omer. Now, maybe he was quoting a Nasi. Not that he himself was a Nasi, maybe he's quoting a Nasi, a prince. So when it says Tashma bring a right, Omer Reb Yosef, Yosef says Halacha Reb Shimon HaNasi. We pass him like Reb Shimon HaNasi. Sounds like he himself was the Nasi. So when it says it's not a Raya, he's just quoting the phrase used in the Braisa. Badayin Tibayilcha. You can still ask the same question. Nasi who? Oh, the Ka'amim Mishmei de Nasi. Is he himself the Nasi or he's quoting a Nasi? I think where it says take it, we don't really know exactly which is the correct pshat in that line in the braisa.
And which Reb Shimon was this?
That's a good question. Meaning, you're normally Reb Shimon Stam is Reb Shimon Ben Yochai. I guess that's the question. We don't find that he was a Nasi. Mm. So maybe we're quoting a different Reb Shimon. Well, which Reb Shimon is that? Is there a Reb Shimon who was a Nasi that we just don't know about? Or is it perhaps a Reb Shimon that we know about who's quoting a Nasi? That's the two possibilities in the Gemara here. And the Gemara is not sure what the Pshat is. You know, maybe it's a Reb Shimon HaNasi that we're just not familiar with, or it is the Reb Shimon we're familiar with quoting the Nasi. That remains an unanswered question. Lastly, Gufa, Amrav Yosef, Halacha Reb Shimon HaNasi. Halacha Reb Shimon HaNasi. Reb Yosef said, Halacha is like Reb Shimon HaNasi. So the Gemara asks, one second, Reb Shimon HaNasi said that the money is given back to the Yorshim of the Mishaleach. So how could Reb Yosef say that? But we pass in Halacha L'maisa, that when a Shechiv Mra distributes property, he does not need to make a Kenyan. He says that it's done. So why would you give it back to the Yorshim of the Mishaleach? So the Gemara answers, Reb Yosef Muki Labibari. Reb Yosef will say that the case in the Braisa is a case where the guy who was giving the gift was not a Shechiv Mra, he was a healthy person. So if no Kenyan was performed, the money goes back to him, or to his Yorshim. But the Braisa quoted Shimon HaNasi is saying it goes back to the Yorshim of the Mishaleach. That's also questionable. We paskin that it's a mitzvah to carry out the wishes of the deceased, so then it should go to the Yorshim of the Mekabel, not the Yorshim of the Mishaleach. Answers the Gemara, Tani Yachzeru Limshaleach. The correct gears in the Braisa should be that it goes back to the Mishaleach himself. Meaning, had he died, we Taka would have said it's a mitzvah to do what he wanted. But he didn't die, so therefore it goes back to him directly. So the Gemara is concluding with is that we paskin Halacha L'maisa Divrei Shechiv Mra Kiksuvin Bikim Surin Damu, that a Shechiv Mra who's distributing property before his death does not need a Kenyan to make the transfer of ownership carry through. We also paskin Mitzvah L'chaim Divrei Meis, that if a Mishaleach dies, it's a mitzvah to carry through his last wishes. So concludes the first parak, second parak.
It says, Habin Lach HaMevi Kamar, and look, I said, oh, it's the next one, it's also HaMevi Gat. I get it, okay.
Right.
I just don't remember it from last time.
Says the Mishnah, HaMevi Gat Nidasiyam, someone, a shliach, brings a get from overseas. So we know from the first parak, he's supposed to declare, I saw the writing of the get, I saw the signing of the get. But he didn't do it exactly as that. What did he do? Vamar, he says, Befanai Nechtam, I saw the writing of the get. Avalo Befanai Nechtam, but I did not see the signing of the get. Or, alternatively, he says, Befanai Nechtam, I saw the signing of the get. Avalo Befanai Nechtam, but I didn't see the writing of the get. Or third case, Befanai Nechtam Kulo, I saw the entire writing of the get. Befanai Nechtam Chetzel, but I only saw one out of two signatures signed on the get. Or the reverse, Befanai Nechtam Chetzel, I only saw half of the writing of the get, or part of the writing of the get. But I saw the entire two signatures being signed on the get. So in any of those four cases, puzzle. This get is puzzle. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to testify that you saw both the writing and the signing in its entirety. You didn't do that. Puzzle. Next case. One fellow coming with the get says, I saw it written. And one fellow coming with the get says, I saw it signed. Puzzle. Even that is puzzle. Now, Rashi quotes two interpretations from the Gemara. Is this a case where only one fellow is the shliach and the other fellow is not the shliach? And that's why we don't allow this to be a kosher get, because only the shliach is the one who has the authority to say, I saw it written and signed. So here where the shliach only saw it either written or signed, and the other fellow who saw the other half of it is not a shliach, well, that's puzzle. Or the Gemara suggests maybe another interpretation of this line in the Mishnah is that both of these guys are shluchim. But nonetheless, only one of the shluchim is made on the chasima, but not on the ksiva. And perhaps that therefore is also problematic. Why? You have one shliach saying I saw the ksiva, one shliach saying I saw the chasima. Perhaps the reason for the psul, the Gemara suggests, Rashi quotes, is that when you have one shliach whose exclusive declaration is with regard to the chasima only, it looks like you're being mekayim a shtar with one aid testifying about the two signatures. Now, in general, when you have kiyum shtaros, any shtar, you have to have two aidim who say, we recognize these chasimos. You can't have one aid being mekayim the chasimos. Get, there's an exception to the rule. Get is the one time you find that a shliach who says, I saw it written, I saw it signed, good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but everyone knows that when there's one person in Basin saying, I saw it written, I saw it signed, he's a shliach. That's kind of a unique scenario. But here what's happening. Here you have one guy saying, I saw it signed, and that's it. He's not saying, I saw it written. Someone else is saying that. He's saying, I saw it signed. It might lend itself to confusion that people will say, oh, look, you see, one aid can be made on and be mekayim to chasimos by other stars too. So maybe to avoid that mistaken assumption, the Mishnah says, pasul, no good.
And before mechtam, is the Rabbanan.
That requirement is the Rabbanan. Kim Shtaris is a requirement on a Rabbanan level. Correct. Okay. Next case in the Mishnah. Shnai momen b'fanenu nechtav ve'echad omer b'fanenu nechtam. If two people say, we saw it written, and one says, I saw it signed, also pasul, also not good. Because once again, if you have only one person saying, I saw it signed, and that's all he says, we're worried about confusing Kiyum Shtaris Da'alma and people thinking that, oh, all you need is one aid for Kiyum Ashtar. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda, in these two previous cases, where you have one shliach saying, I saw the ksiva, and one saying, I saw the chasima, or you have two people saying, I saw the ksiva, and one saying, I saw the chasima, he's Machshir in both cases. He's Machshir in both cases. Finally, Echad Omer B'Fanenu Nechtav, U'Shnayim Omrim B'Fanenu Nechtam. If one shliach says, I saw the ksiva, and two say, we saw the chasima, that is kosher. That's okay. Says the Gemara, Hasu Lamali, why do I need this Mishnah altogether? Hatam Lechada Zimna, don't I already know from the first Mishnah in the Masechta that when you have a shliach bringing a get from overseas, he has to declare that I saw the get written and I saw the get signed. So why here are we repeating what seems to be a halacha that I'm already familiar with? After all, we learned in the first parak, Hamevi get, Mdina Sayyam, Tsarach Shiyamar, Fananechtav, Fananechtam. We know from the first parak that a shliach who brings a get from overseas must declare he saw it written and saw it signed. So why here are you reiterating the same halacha that if he doesn't make that declaration, he just saw the ksiva, he just saw the chasima, it's pasul? That's his Gemara. Imehi, if I only had the mission in the first parak, I would have said, Havamina, Tsarach, he needs to say the declaration of seeing the ksiva and the chasima. However, I would have thought, Be'ilo Amar Kasher. Maybe B'di'evit, if he doesn't say it, it's still a Kasher get. Kamash B'lan, the Chiddush of this Mishnah is that no, even B'di'evit, if the Shliach didn't declare that he saw both the Ksiva and the Chsima, the get is possible. Next. B'fanai Nechtav Chetzio, B'fanai Nechtam Kula Pasol. He saw only part of the writing of the get, and both chasimos of the get still pasul. Asks Gemara, hey chetzio, which part of the writing did he see? Ilei mechetzio rishon, if he saw the first line of the get, which includes the name of the man, woman, and the date, well then that should be sufficient. After all, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, Elazar says, afilo lo kasav bo, ela shita achas lishma shuvena tzarech. Even if all you saw was that he wrote the opening line of the get lishma, that's sufficient. So why here, if he says, I saw part of the writing of the get, meaning the first part of the writing of the get, why is that not sufficient? Elamer Vashi, Vashi says, Chetzio Acharon. The part of the get that he saw written was the second part of the get. He didn't see the first part of the get written. So we're still left with the question of, was that first part of the get written lishma? He can't prove that. He wasn't there. He didn't see it. That's why it's puzzle. Amar, next. Fananechtav, kulo, fananechtam, chetzio puzzle. If he saw the entire writing of the get, but he saw only one signature, that's puzzle. Amar of Chista, Chista says, vafilu shnayim me'idim al chasimas yacheni puzzle. When the shliach says, I saw the ksiva, but only one chasima. Even if two other edim come and say, we recognize the second chasima, still pasul. Why is that? My taima. Because what happens here? You have the shliach saying, I saw the writing of the get, and I saw one signature. You have two edim from the street saying, we recognize the second signature. Chissa says, no good. Because o kula b'kiyum get, either you follow the standard approach of kiyum get, which means two edim say, we recognize both signatures. O kula b'tekanas chachamim. Or you follow the special tekanas chachamim by a shliach bringing get. The shliach recognizes or saw
he was
both signatures. Right. You can't mix and match. You can't have the shliach saying, I saw the first signature, then two guys off the street saying, oh, we recognize the second signature. Either they recognize both, or the shliach saw both. Master Rava asks him, Chista, how could that be? Mika midi, what's the logic here? Ze'ilu omer chad kosher. If the shliach himself, according to Rashi's understanding of the sugya, this means, if the shliach himself were to say, I saw the first signature, and I recognize the second. Or I recognize both signatures. That would have been okay. That would have been okay. Hashtadika Trey Apostle. So now when two people walk in and say, we recognize the second signature, that's worse. How could that be? If the shliach, as one person, is trusted to say, I recognize the signatures, then why are you rejecting the get when two Adim walk in and say, we recognize the second signature? So Rava, in fact, holds that in this case, the get would be kosher. So the Gemara there says, Ella rather, Amar Rava says, Afilu Reves, Hu Ve'echad Hu Ve'acher, Me'idin Achasimus Yacheni Pasol. Rava says that in this case in the Mishnah, where once again the Shliach said, I saw it all written, and I saw one signature sign this puzzle, even if on the second signature, the shliach combines with another aide from the street to say we recognize second signature, it's still puzzle. My time of why? What happened here? The shliach says, I saw one signature, and then he joins with another aide off the street to say, and we both recognize the second signature. And I'm saying that's not good. The Gemara explains, my time, why not? Because asu lechlufe bikiyum shtaris da'alma. We're afraid people might make a mistaken assumption that this can be applied to other shtaris as well. Meaning, when it comes to kiyum shtaris da'alma, what happens? Usually you have either each of the two edim who signed a shtar saying, yes, this is my signature, yes, this is my signature. Or you have two witnesses off the street saying, we recognize both signatures. But what happens in a case of Kim Shtaris Da'alma? You have one aide saying, this is my signature. Now the other aide has died. He can't come and say, this is my signature. So the first aide joins together with another witness and they both say, we recognize this signature of the second aide. That, the Gemara says, in Ksubis is possible. No good. Why not? Because ordinarily, when you have a loan document, $1,000 is owed. And one witness says, this is my signature. Other witness says, this is my signature. So you're really relying upon two people to authenticate the shtar. Each one essentially carries 50% of the weight, so to speak. Right? Each one is providing half the ne'emanus that's required to authenticate the shtar. What happens in such a case? If one aide says, yeah, this is my signature. And then he and another guy say, we both recognize the second signature. That one aide is carrying 3/4 of the weight, so to speak. In other words, he's responsible for 70% of the overall ne'emanus here that the shtar is relying upon. That's not good, the Gemara says. So here as well, what's going to happen? The shliach says, I saw the first signature, but not the second. But then the shliach combines with another witness to say, but we both recognize second signature. So people might think, oh, when it comes to Kiyum Shtar, you're allowed to have one aide carry 3/4 of the ne'emanus responsibility, so to speak. So Gemara says, v'kanafik, v'asu l'chlufe, v'kiyum shtaris da'alma. You might confuse it with Kiyum Shtaris in general. V'kanafik nechi riva de'mamona, and you'll end up extracting or collecting all but 25% of the money apuma d'chatzada on the basis of one aide. You'll end up with one aide being responsible for 75% of the authentication of the shtar, which you can't do. That's Rava's reasoning here. So Maska for Avashi, Avashi asks, Mi'ikamidi, how could this be? It's Ilu Masik Le Ihu Lukule Dibura. Had the Shlich himself said, I recognize, or I saw both signatures, right? Had the Shlich himself been responsible for the authentication of both chsimos, so then kosher. That you're saying is okay. So now when a second aide joins the Shliach and saying, I also recognize the second signature, that's possible. How could that be? If the Shliach himself is capable of saying, I recognize the signature, then how could it be any worse off when another aide says, oh, I also recognize the second signature? So Rav Ashi therefore says, this would be kosher. El Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, you know what's possible? Here's what's possible. Afilu Omer Ani Hu A sheni puzzle. Vashti says, if the Shliach says, I saw the first signature signed, and I myself signed the second, that's puzzle.
He's 100%.
Right, but why is it puzzle then? Why is it puzzle? My time up. Here's why. O kulo b'kim aget, o kulo b'tkas kachamim. You can't have both ways. You can't mix and match. Either do everything with standard kim aget, meaning two Adam coming in saying, we recognize these two signatures, or do everything with Tkanos Chachamim, meaning the Shliach saying, I saw both signatures. You can't say, I saw one, and then, oh, I signed the other. That's me, that's Kiyum. You can't mix and match. So this is the three Ramachlokas, Rav Chisda, Rava, and Rav Ashi. Tanan, the Mishnah says, V'fanai nechtav kulo, V'fanai nechtam chetzio pasul. The Mishnah says, if the Shliach says, I saw it written, I saw one signature signed, pasul. So Gemara asks, well, idach chetzo hechidami. Well, what is the scenario the Mishnah is describing? What happened with regard to the second signature? Ilema de leka de kamaser leklal. If no one is saying anything about the second signature, is there any chiddush in saying it's possible? Hashta echad omer b'fanei nechtam, ve'echad omer b'fanei nechtam. If you already told me in the Mishnah a scenario whereby one shliach is made on the ksiva and one's made on the chsima, the high come masada kula ksiva. One is entirely authenticating, if you will, the writing of the get. The high come masada kula ksima. And one is being made on the entirety of the ksima. And even that's possible. So chetzio mebaya. So is there any chiddush in saying that if you only have the shliach being made on one of the chasimos, but no one is being made on the second chasima, that's possible? That's pasha. The Mishnah wouldn't have to say that. So when the Mishnah unnecessarily tells me that b'fanai nechtav kulo, b'fanai nechtam chetzio, pasul, there must be some chiddush there. Because the Mishnah wouldn't have to tell me that b'fanai nechtam chetzio, when the Shliach says I saw one of two signatures, that's pasul. It's obviously pasul. The fact the Mishnah says it unnecessarily is apparently to teach me a chiddush. Which chiddush is it teaching me? Ella, o kederava, o kederavashi, v'lafuke midrav chista. It must be teaching me the lesser of the chiddushim, meaning either the chiddush of Rava, who had said that if the shliach is made on seeing one chasima, and then he joins together with an eidecha to say we recognize the second chasima, that's no good. Or it must be teaching me the chiddush of Rav Ashi, who says that if the shliach says, I saw one chasima, and I myself signed the second one, that's no good. The Mishnah is probably telling me either one of those two chiddushim. But the chiddush of Rav Chisda, which was a bigger chiddush, Rav Chisda said that even if two Adam off the street say we recognize the second signature, that's also possible. That the Mishnah is apparently not saying, because that's too big of a chiddush. So what we're arguing is that this extra unnecessary scenario mentioned in the Mishnah must be brought down as a means of teaching me a chiddush. Which chiddush of the three would it be teaching me? The lesser of the bunch, either Rava's chiddush or Rav Ashi's chiddush, but not Rav Chisda's chiddush. So we're arguing that Rav Chisda's chiddush is the biggest of the three. That can't be what we're working with here. So in response to the Gemara says, Amalcha Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda will respond by saying, well, according to you, that the Mishnah didn't have to say this case, so it must be it's teaching me a chiddush. Well then, b'fanai nechtav, aba lo b'fanai nechtav lamali. Well, the same question can be asked about this other case in the Mishnah. The Shliach says, I saw it written, and I didn't see it signed at all. What is that teaching me? In other words, you're so bothered by what's the chiddush in telling me I saw only one of two signatures signed, oh, pasul. And the Mishnah's case about I saw no signature sign, that's also, according to you, unnecessary to state. What's the chiddush there? Oh, the rabbi has to say as follows. The Mishnah is not listing all of these unnecessary cases to tell me a chiddush each time. Rather, lozu afzuksani. Hachanami, lozu afzuksani. The style of the Mishnah sometimes is that it tells you, not only is this possible, but even this is possible. Not only is this possible, even this is possible. That's what's going on here in the Mishnah as well, says Rav Chisda. The Mishnah begins with the more obvious, that if the shliach says, I saw it written, I didn't see it signed at all. That's possible. And not only that, but even I saw it written and I saw one of the signatures is also possible. In other words, that's the style of the Mishnah. You can't argue that every case the Mishnah mentions is teaching me something new. The Kabbalah is just giving me a stylistic approach of not only is this possible, even this is possible, not only this, even this. So you can't ask kashas on me from the Mishnah. Fine, so we've concluded that discussion. We're left with that machlokas of Chisda and Rava and Ravashi. As we mentioned earlier, what happens if the shliach only saw one of the signatures, and with regard to the other signature, he did not see it? So Chisda said, even if two ate him off the street, authenticate the second signature, it's no good. Rabbi said, no, that's okay. The chiddush is that if the shliach himself and one ate off the street authenticate second signature, it's no good. And Vash said, no, that is good. The psul would be if the shliach himself says, I signed the second signature, that would not be good. Okay, now moving on to a different discussion. Amar Rav Chisda, Chisda says, Gidud chamisha u'mechitza chamisha ein mitzdarfen. When it comes to Erevin, where if you want to carry within an area and you have to define it as a Rishus HaYachid to do so, you need a mechitza around that Rishus HaYachid. The mechitza has to be an enclosure that's 10 tefachim tall, or alternatively, it could be a straight down drop of 10 tefachim. Right, you're standing at the very, you're standing, let's say, in a ditch, a pit, and the pit is a drop down of 10 tefachim all around. That's also an enclosure that creates a Rishus HaYachid inside. So what happens is, Rav Chisda, if you have a wall, a gidud, which is a drop of 5 tefachim, so it's only half the required amount, but then you also have a mechitza on top of the pit of 5 tefachim. All in all, you have a 10 tefach combination, but the drop down is 5 tefachim and the wall is 5 tefachim. So Rav Chisda says, emes darfin, that doesn't work. If you want to create an enclosure in which there is a Rishus HaYachid, either there has to be a wall around it that is entirely 10 tefachim high all around, at least, or you have to have a 10 tefach drop all around, Gidur Chamisha, one or the other. You can't combine a 5 tefach drop into a pit and then a 5 tefach wall above the edge of the pit. However, Darsh Mareimar Darsh, no. Gidur Chamisha u'mechitza Chamisha Mitzdarfen, you could combine a 5 tefach wall with a 5 tefach drop. The Ilchus of the Halacha is Mitzdarfen, that they in fact do combine. So, the Gemara now is going to ask a completely different Shaila, another half and half kind of question, but one that relates to the Tilas Yadayim. It's a very different discussion now. Just pose the question. The question is, Boy Ilfa asked, Yadayim Tahoros L'chatzayin, O'ein Tahoros L'chatzayin. Can one be metaher his hands through the process of the Tilas Yadayim? Halfway, by half and half. Anyone is puzzled, what does that mean? Can you make your hands tahor half at a time? What does that mean? And the Gemara is going to try to figure out what the L'chatzayin means that Ilfa is asking about. That we'll discuss tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, good day to all. Same care.